Welcome to the MRBC podcast. Let's join Pastor Tim Yazel for today's message.
Years ago, my family used to listen to a program on the radio called Unshackled. Have any of you ever heard Unshackled? But Unshackled is a program that is produced by the Pacific Garden Mission, a rescue mission in Chicago. And it features the stories of men and women whose lives have been miraculously touched and transformed by Jesus Christ. Now, these stories are always fascinating. And as you listen to these stories, you can hear the power of God through each of these stories. You can hear how God worked in these lives in such a powerful, evident way. These people on Unshackled had stories that other people wanted to listen to. They had a life story that proved the transforming power of God in their lives. I even had a very good friend whose life was portrayed on Unshackled, and it was awesome to hear my friend's life being portrayed. But as I listened to the stories on Unshackled, and I'd hear the stories of people who were involved in a life of crime in and out of jail, or people who were drug addicts or alcoholics whose lives were so changed that they never went back to that life again. And as I would listen to Unshackled, I'd think, you know, my story is rather boring. I used to envy these people. I used to think, boy, I wish I could have been a drug addict so that I could have had this great transformation in my life so that I would have some really great story to tell. Honestly, I used to think that way. You know, my story wouldn't be worth listening to. Nobody would want to hear my story, let alone have their life transformed by my story. And then one day I discovered I do have a story. Now, my story's never been portrayed on Unshackled, but my story was written in a book. It's documented in this book. And you can actually read my story if you would like. It's found in the Bible in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 7. You don't need to turn there, but I want to read this for you here just real quickly. Paul told the Ephesians, "And you hath he quickened, hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others." But God, let me just stop right there. Two of the most important words in all of our English language. Two of the most powerful words in all of the Word of God begin verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." That is my story. Now I want you to notice why this is a good story. First of all, Ephesians 2, 1 through 7 gives you a glimpse into my old life, what my life was like before I found Jesus Christ. I was dead in trespasses and sins. my life was actually a pretty good looking life from the outside. If you looked at my life, you'd think, oh, there goes a good Christian. I was a very religious person. We were in church every single Sunday. I respected and loved God's word. God was very important in my life, but God was not my personal Savior. I had never come to the place where I admitted that I was a sinner without hope, that there was nothing I could do about it myself, because I was trying to earn God's favor by the things that I did, by being good, by being in church every Sunday, by not saying things that other people would say and not doing things that other people would do and not going places that other people would go. I thought I was okay, but I was dead in trespasses and sins. I was, according to Paul, a child of disobedience. I was by nature a child of wrath. And so Ephesians 2 gives you a glimpse into my old life, into your old life before Christ transformed you. We followed the ways of this world. We followed the ways of Satan. We gratified the cravings of our old sinful nature. And as a consequence, Paul said, we became children of wrath. Children of God's wrath. Now this word children denotes relationship. In fact, it denotes a very close relationship. As children of wrath, believers have a very close relationship, not with God, but with God's wrath. Did you get that? As those without Jesus Christ, we have a very close relationship with God's wrath. But not only does Ephesians 2 show you my old life, but Ephesians 2 also describes my new life. I am made alive in Christ. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. Not only does Ephesians 2 tell you my story about my old life and about my new life, but Ephesians 2 also tells you the story of who or what made the difference in my life, and that is God's grace. By grace ye are saved, Paul said. So every good story for a believer traces our old life, doesn't glorify our old life, it traces our old life. It majors on our new life, and it majors on who or what made the difference. And so today, in John chapter 9 in our text, we're going to take a look at this very concept that we find in Ephesians 2. We're going to take a look at it as it's played out in a real life situation. I call your attention to John chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So you've got the setting here. Jesus is walking, and as he's walking, he passes by this man that was blind from the instant he was born, this man who never had eyesight. And the disciples are troubled by this, and they ask Jesus a question: who sinned? Was it this man, or was it his parents? You see, back during Jesus' time in his earthly ministry, there was a belief that all suffering, no matter what the suffering was, all suffering was directly the result of sin. directly caused by sin. And so they would see this blindness as the specific result of a specific sin. They also, during this time, believed that it was possible for you to sin in utero while you were still in the womb. Before you were even born, they believed that you could sin, that you could transgress God's law through disobedience. And so the disciples here had a theological paradox. They had a head scratcher. Lord, this man was blind from the moment he was born. Now we know, they didn't say this, but they're thinking, we know that this blindness was caused by somebody's sin. So what we want to know is, whose sin was it? Was it this man's sin? Or was it his parents' sin? And if it was this man's sin, he obviously had to sin before he was ever born, because he was born blind. So who sinned? Notice Jesus' answer in verse 3. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So the disciples have a head scratcher. Who was it that sinned? The blind man or his parents? And Jesus said, neither of them has sinned. Now, don't misinterpret what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is not saying that this man was not a sinner, nor was he saying that this man's parents were not sinners. What he was saying is that this blindness was not caused by this man's sin, nor by any sin of his parents. That's not what caused the blindness. Rather, this man's blindness was allowed by God so that God might show himself powerful through a miraculous healing of this man's blindness. It would allow God to display his glory in this tragic situation. It would allow Jesus Christ to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is, in fact, God. So let's read on in our text, verse 6, if you would. When Jesus had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which by interpretation, sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now, I want you to try to put yourself in this man's position for a moment, if you would. You're blind. You've been blind all your life. You've never had the opportunity to see. You don't know what that experience is like. And then you meet a man named Jesus. And Jesus makes mud or clay out of dirt and saliva. And then he rubs this clay on your eyes, not because there was any medicinal value in this mud. And then Jesus says, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." This blind man was given some very specific orders here. He was ordered to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now that's odd. It's odd that Jesus spit on the ground and made a paste out of the dirt and rubbed it on his eyes. And then it's odd that the man's still blind and Jesus says, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." Now imagine you're in this man's position. What would you do? You'd be like, oh, come on. Go wash in the pool of Siloam? Is this the best you've got, Jesus? Can't you do better for me? I've been blind since birth. But what did the man do? The Bible says he went and washed. The man followed the command of Jesus. Why? Why? Well, we're not told directly in this passage why, but I can only assume that the man went and washed in the pool of Siloam out of faith. He was exercising faith in Jesus Christ. He believed Jesus and he obeyed. But I think there's another reason why the blind man went and washed in the pool of Siloam. I would imagine that he's tried everything else. I would imagine that this blind man has desperately tried many, many other would-be remedies for his blindness, and nothing helped. And keep in mind, he lived in an era where there were not tools to help a blind person. Today we have microwave ovens that can talk to you. He had no helps of any kind like that back in his day. He needed help. He knew he needed help. And he knew from experience that he absolutely could not help himself. And so he trusted Jesus. He believed Jesus. He did what Jesus said. Now, the blind man here is a type of every person who has ever lived on this earth, with the exception of Jesus Christ. This man was blind. Every one of us was born spiritually blind. We are all born blinded by sin. This man had a problem that he could do nothing about himself. And likewise, we as sinners all are born with a problem that we can do nothing about ourselves. We are helpless. There was absolutely nothing that the blind man could do to solve his own problem. If there was, he would have done it by now. But he was helpless. Just like every unbeliever, every person that has not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are helpless. There's nothing they can do about their condition. Well, let's read on. Verse 8, if you would. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." But he said, "I am he." Therefore said they unto him, "How were thine eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight." Then said they unto him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I know not." Notice that the crowd got interested in this man's story. This man has experienced a miraculous transformation, a miraculous change. And the crowd got interested in what happened to this man. And notice that when the crowd got interested in the blind man's story, the man who had been healed said, "Yes, that's my story. I was blind, but I had an encounter with Jesus. And as the result of my encounter with Jesus, I can see. I have my sight. I want you to notice what the blind man told his neighbors here, these folks that are inquiring. He basically told them about his old life. Yes, I'm the one that was born blind. And then he told them about his new life, but now I see. I received sight. Not only did he tell them about his old life and his new life, but he told them who it was that made the difference. That was his story. Old life, new life, who made the difference? That's my story. That is also your story. Your story has the very same elements. Old life, new life, who made the difference? Jesus healed the blind man, but there was a problem, because Jesus healed the blind man on the Sabbath. According to Old Testament law, and according to the Pharisees' interpretation of that Old Testament law, you were to do no work on the Sabbath. And so the Pharisees were upset. In fact, that's an understatement. The Pharisees were livid that Jesus had healed the blind man on the Sabbath. And so the Pharisees called for the man, and they quizzed the blind man, or the one that was formerly blind, about what had happened. The man who had been healed simply told them his story. He put mud on my eyes, and then I washed them, and now I see. He told his story. Now his story had enough impact that it made the Pharisees even madder. Now I've mentioned before to you that there's one testimony that's difficult to argue with, and that's the testimony of a changed life. Changed life. You can argue with my words. You can argue with my opinions. But a radically transformed life is very difficult to argue against. And the Pharisees had a problem. And so they said to those that were within earshot, this man could not possibly be from God, because he broke the Sabbath. One sent from God would not break the Sabbath. He's a sinner. But others standing around wondered to themselves, how in the world did a sinner do such a miracle? How was a sinner able to transform a blind man? A changed life. It's hard to argue with. And so the Pharisees then turned to the man's parents, and they began to quiz this man's parents. Is this your son, the one that you claim was born blind? The parents were like, well, we know it's our son. I mean, we know our son, and we know that he was born blind. Well, then how in the world is it that he sees? The parents were, we have no idea how he can see. Wasn't any fun being put on the spot by the Pharisees, especially when they had steam coming out their ears, when they were very angry. And so the parents said to the Pharisees, hey, he's an adult, go ask him. Well, they'd already talked to him. But they go back. They call for him again. Verse 24. If you drop down to verse 24, John 9 and verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. The blind man answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Once again, the blind man is questioned. And finally, perhaps in exasperation, the former blind man tells his story, does all that he can do, tells them what he's already told them that they didn't believe, and out of exasperation, he wraps up his story with some of the most powerful words in all of Scripture. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. One thing, I don't know all this theology. I don't know whether this man's a sinner or not a sinner, or the Sabbath or not on the Sabbath. I don't know any of that stuff. The only thing I know is I used to be blind, and now I see. That's all I know. And he didn't say this, but quite frankly, he could have added, and quite frankly, that's all I care about right now. I used to be blind, but now I see. Did you catch that? What a testimony. What a testimony. Old life, new life. What I used to be, who I am now. Folks, it's the same with our story. What I was, what I am now, and what made the difference. He had already told them what made the difference or who made the difference. He had an encounter with Jesus. He'd already shared that with them, so now he sticks with, I was, but I am. I was blind, but now I am able to see. How can the Pharisees argue with that? All these people knew that this was the blind man that sat and begged. His parents knew that this was their son who was blind from birth. He had never seen anything in his life. The people saw what they saw. A man they knew to be blind now can see. And what a testimony. One thing I know. That's enough. That's enough for me. One thing I know. I was blind, but now I see. One thing I know. I was an alcoholic, throwing my life away. But now I have a wonderful life. One thing I know, I was living a life of sin, in and out of jail, in and out of trouble. But now I have a family. Now I have a hope. Now, whatever your story is, those weren't all my story, but whatever your story is, tell your story. Share your story. The blind man said, one thing I know. And my question this morning is, what do you know? What do you know? You know your story. I went from death unto life. I went from self-righteous unto righteous in Jesus Christ. What's your story?
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.monclovabaptist.org.